Would you open up your Bibles with me, page 828 in your pew Bibles, page 828. This is a rather long list of fun names, so you want to join in on the fun and reading God's Word. It is fun to read God's Word, challenging, very difficult, and often rewarding. Not often, actually very rewarding, and it's a light unto our path. Open up to Acts chapter 20. Verses 1 to 16, Acts chapter 20, verses 1 to 16. When the uproar had ended, Paul sent for the disciples, and after encouraging them, said goodbye and set out for Macedonia. He traveled through that area, speaking many words of encouragement to the people, and finally arrived in Greece, where he stayed there 3 months. Because the Jews made a plot against him, just as he was about to sail for Syria, he decided to go back through Macedonia. He was accompanied by Sopater, son of Pyrrhus, from Berea, Aristarchus and Secundus from Thessalonica, Gaius from Derbe, Timothy also, and Tychicus and Trophimus from the province of Asia. These men went on ahead and waited for us at Troas. But we sailed from Philippi after the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and 5 days later joined the others at Troas, where we stayed 7 days. On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, kept on talking until midnight. There were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting. Seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on and on and on. And when he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, and put his arms around him. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "He's alive." Then he went upstairs again and broke bread and ate. After talking until daylight, he left. The people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted. We went on ahead to the ship and sailed for Assos, where we were going to take Paul aboard. He had made this arrangement because he was going there on foot. When he met us at Assos, we took him aboard and went on to Mytilene. The next day, we set sail from there and arrived off Chios. The day after that, we crossed over to Samos, and on the following day, arrived at Miletus. Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus to avoid spending time in the province of Asia, for he was in a hurry to reach Jerusalem, if possible, by the day of Pentecost. Here ends the reading of God's word. Thanks be to God.
So now you know it, don't you? You know my life verse. Paul talked on and on. Oh, goodness. Well, there is something I love more than talking, and that's traveling. Does anyone love to travel? I love it. I remember when I got my first passport, my goal, here we are, was to fill it. I wanted to take this passport and I wanted to fill it with as many stamps, and then I found out they gave stickers too. I wanted to fill my passport with visas from every nation I could possibly find, and if I could get them, you know, all in one 10-year period, that would have been good. But that one didn't work, and then I made the mistake when I was with Vaudeville Bernard and going to Israel to allow them to stamp my passport because I was on my way to Lebanon. And you, at that time, you couldn't have an Israeli stamp. And so, oh gosh, what do I do now? Do I turn in my passport? Well, then I discovered there's something called a diplomatic passport. And it had this cool numbering system. It's hard to see. Maybe you can see it like this. Where they poked out the number like they did in the passports in the 50s and 60s. And so I got a diplomatic passport, and I could get a Syrian visa, Lebanese visa, and this one I almost filled. And I felt so important because I had two passports. because I love to travel. And I wanted to see every place I could possibly see. I was really excited. I got to go to Europe, went through England, so got to get a stamp on that. Got to go to Armenia, got to stamp on that, Paris on the way back, stamp. Got into Africa, although I don't know if Egypt really counts, but it got me onto the African continent, so that was really cool. Like I said, Syria, Lebanon. Got to Asia, and it's really close to Australia. It was Indonesia, so I got a passport stamp there. Haven't made it to South America. Haven't made it to Antarctica, although some people in our church have made it to Antarctica. Not me, though. Want to someday. But I want to go everywhere. And in fact, at one point, I had friends who said, you know, Greg, you've demonstrated a real interest in missions. And, you know, you love languages. But, you know, as we've been watching you, we really want you to consider something. Is your heart for missions for people or places? Is your heart for missions people or places? And it exposed me. Because if I never shared the gospel of Jesus with anybody, in my mind, it would have been good because I could have seen everything and everywhere. I could have seen all sorts of cultures, eaten all sorts of food, some of which would be edible and not almost kill you. But I learned something when they challenged me, that there's only two things that are eternal on planet Earth. And it's the image of God and the Word of God. Only two material things that you can actually touch. And it's people and Scripture. Nothing else will join us into eternity. I love God's creation. I love, there's so much to love about our lives here on earth. But only two will enter into eternity. And that's people in Scripture. And in this sort of odd passage that's in between the riot and the chaos of Ephesus and the farewell that Paul gives to the Ephesian elders, you have this list of places, but you also have a list of people. And we have this crazy event. It might be the justification for youth ministry for the last 2,000 years, is that if you put the kids with the adults, they fall out of windows. I don't know. But it's a rather odd collection of things, and what stands out by a word that's repeated over and over, I don't know if you heard it, was encouragement. Encouragement. Paul survives the chaos or the uproar, and he's sent for the disciples, and after encouraging them, said goodbye and set out for Macedonia. See, Paul understood what encouragement does for people. See, people matter and the Word of God matters. And so encouragement comes through presence, through people, and through God's Word. And so he brings them together, he says goodbye to them, and he wants to head north. And I put this map in the slides just so you can see it. Do you see Asia? And you can see Ephesus is down just a little bit here. It's going to be on your right side there. You see Ephesus. And he's going to go up around through Thrace into Macedonia, and then he's going to end up in Corinth or Achaia. So Paul's going to be going through, and he's going to be encouraging the people. He encourages them. None of us are going to make it in our walks with Christ by ourselves. It just doesn't work that way. And your presence here proves that, because you've figured out that it's not just you and God. It's you, the people of God, receiving from the Word of God. See, we need encouragement, and it's not a sign of weakness for you to say, man, whenever I just am on my own with God, I fail. That's not a sign of weakness. That's a sign of reality, that none of us is designed to walk with God by ourselves. Last weekend at the retreat, one of the things I told the college students was that they could succeed off the charts academically. They could fail academically. College is a tough time, but if they're going to continue walking with Christ, it will be because they have partners in the faith. They have fellowship. They have encouragement from the presence of people and from the Word of God. But it's not just when you're in college. How are we doing? Are you allowing people to walk with you? Are you being vulnerable enough, just exactly what Sivog demonstrated for us, to allow people into our lives, into the needs of our lives? Are you vulnerable enough to let other people come in and encourage you, to help lift you up? If not, either it's already happened or it's just a matter of time till you're going to trip and fall. We're not designed to be able to walk with God by ourselves. We need other people. We need the Word of God. Paul traveled through that area, speaking many words of encouragement to the people. And finally, he arrived at Greece, where he stayed 3 months. Because some Jews had plotted against him, just as he was about to sail for Syria, he decided to go back through Macedonia. He was accompanied by Sopater, son of Pyrrhus from Berea, Aristarchus and Secundus from Thessalonica, Gaius from Derbe, Timothy also, and Tychicus and Trophimus from the province of Asia. These men went on ahead and waited for us at Troas. But we sailed ahead from Philippi after the festival of unleavened bread for five days later, joined the others at Troas, where we stayed for 7 days. Underneath this passage that Luke is describing is a big section from 2 Corinthians, and we're not going to go through it, but I'm just going to tell you, Paul wanted to go from Ephesus back through all the churches in Macedonia and Greece, because he was making a collection to take with him back to the believers in Jerusalem. See, Jewish believers lost their jobs when they began to follow Jesus. They were kicked out of their families. They were poor. The church in Jerusalem was very, very poor. And so Paul, wanting to bring an offering from all the beneficiaries of the Jewish Messiah, was collecting an offering, and he wanted to bring it back with him to Jerusalem. And I don't think it's a coincidence that he names the cities and the regions where these specific people came from. Berea, Thessalonica, Asia, Derbe. These were all places where Paul had established churches. All of them were beneficiaries of the Word of God that came from the Jewish people. And so Paul was bringing back an offering, saying, here it is. Now, people really are important. They matter. And people really are the source of many of our problems, aren't they? I'll never forget a little comic that was in Leadership Magazine. And it said, the church is just so fantastic. It's the best. If it wasn't for the people. Well, Paul's not describing the people of the church. He's describing the enemies of Christ. He says that there were a group of people, and again, we've gone through this probably in, for some of you, some painstaking detail. Everywhere Paul went, he went where first? The synagogue. And in the synagogue, what always happened, time after time after time? He gets kicked out, and he gets rejected. Some children of Abraham, some Jews follow him, but the vast majority reject him. And they don't go away. He comes back down to Corinth, and in Corinth, that same group of people that is against him, that were against him, he's back in town, he's here for 3 months. We're going to nail this son of a gun. See, Paul was going to take a boat back from Greece to Syria and into Jerusalem with all this money. If it wasn't enough to toss him overboard because he's preaching this new religion, well, at least we'll get the cash. He says, no, I'm going to have to go back through Macedonia. Ends up in Troas. All these people are accompanying him. Could you make a list of the people who are important in your walk with Christ? Not your teachers. Not the people who have taught you the scriptures, but the people with whom you've walked. Or maybe the people whom you've benefited. Maybe you've shared the gospel with them. Can you identify, and this isn't for pride, but can you identify people in whose lives God has used you to be the one to show them Jesus? If the answer is no, what on earth are you waiting for? What is your life worth if it isn't investing the Word of God into people, the two things that are going to last forever? What are we wasting our lives on if it isn't the Word of God and people? Those are the only two things that last forever. You may have a fantastic portfolio. Congratulations. Use it. Notice that Luke doesn't even mention the collection and the money. Luke has two things on his mind: people and the Word of God. And all these places where there are people and the Word of God is being proclaimed and used to encourage people. I don't know what you have planned on April 1st and 2nd or on the Wednesday before. We still have a couple of tickets left for the women's luncheon. What are you doing that's so important that you haven't already invited five friends to come and hear the gospel at the Save Mart Center? What are you doing? What are you so busy about that you haven't taken the time to meet your neighbors and meet them intentionally for the purpose of sharing the love of Christ and the Word of Christ with them? We need to do a major reset on our priorities if people and the Word of God do not matter to us. I'll never forget my freshman year in college, and I was whining. I have whined a lot. I was whining a lot about feeling lonely, and, oh, my family was, you know, 3.5 hours away, and blah, 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 love me, love me. I was just sucking my thumb, wanting love, and the gentleman who led the ministry that I was a part of said to me, Greg, you will never be lonely if you're involved in the lives of others. You will never be lonely if you're involved in the lives of others. Literally, he walked out, okay, had my marching orders, involved in the life of others, starting to get some stuff ready. The guy across the hall knocks on my door, and this was a guy who didn't have a lot of friends, frankly. He was a little socially awkward. He comes in knocking on my door, and Bill says, hey, Greg, You want to go throw a baseball? He's from Long Island. And guess what my response was? No. And he said, oh, okay, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you because I'm busy, right? I'm important. See ya. My door closes, and it's one of those moments where you feel like God's got this loudspeaker right above your head or right in your empty head saying, excuse me? You're whining about being lonely. I just said someone from across the hall, get out there and throw the stupid baseball with him. I break for the door. Bill had not even closed his door yet. I said, Bill, let's go throw the baseball. I'm not busy. What does he say to me? No, that's okay. It took 4 attempts for me, like, come on, Bill, I'm dragging it. It's like, well, do you even have a glove? Yeah, I've got my glove in my room, but you got to come. I'll meet you. Get my glove. And we threw the baseball for 15, 20 minutes. You'll never guess what happened before the end of that school year. Someone from Long Island found a new address in heaven. Because I picked up a baseball and threw it to him and caught it when he threw it back to me. People matter. Do you have a list of people that you either influenced for the gospel or with whom you've partnered for the gospel? And if the answer is no, what are you wasting your life on? See, the other thing that matters is Scripture. Scripture matters. They're in Troas, and they come together to break bread, which is code for celebrate the Lord's Supper. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, he kept on talking until midnight. You think my sermons are long? You think Bobby Mugo's sermons are long? Bobby Phil's sermons are long? Come on now. They worked all day long, because Sunday, if you might recall, Sunday wasn't a holiday at this time. They worked all day long. They get together. They're going to eat together. They're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. And what a great opportunity to hear from the Apostle Paul. I'm not the Apostle Paul, so I'm not going to talk till midnight. There were many lamps on the upstairs room where they were meeting. Seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus. Guess what his name means? Anybody know what his name means? Lucky. It means lucky. Who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on. And go ahead and nudge your neighbor, and just in case they're trying to imitate Eutychus right now, falling into a deep sleep as Bradley Greg talks on and on. When he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. Now you might say, oh, they just thought he was dead. But you remember who's writing this, don't you? Dr. Luke. And this wouldn't be just a case of simple resuscitation because it wouldn't have this much space. This is an example, just like Jesus, just like the Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul is someone by the power of the Holy Spirit who can resuscitate the dead. But did you notice that the miracle just sort of, he's okay, he's alive. Then he went upstairs again, and broke bread and ate. And after talking until daylight, he left. There's more of an emphasis on Paul preaching until midnight, talking on, and going until daylight that there is on the miracle of someone being brought back to life. What do you think Luke wants us to get into our heads? Instruction from the Word of God, no matter how long it takes, no matter how inconvenient it is the center point of the gathering of the people of God. It's the sacrament and the Scripture. The sacrament and the Scripture. The Word of God acted out in the bread and the cup and the Word of God. That's what the people of God are to do together. They're to receive the sacrament, the very presence of God, and they're supposed to take in his word. Scripture matters. And I love this. The people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted. And they were comforted that he was alive, not because Paul stopped preaching. Go ahead and take this personally. And I know I talk too long. But some of you are happier when I stop preaching than when a neighbor comes to Christ. Some of you are happier that you get to go to lunch after the worship service than you are that the Word of God has a transforming effect in people's lives. We need a major reboot. We need to do a major reset because there's only two things. Let's try it one more time. Okay, could you do that manual for me, please? There's only two things that matter. People and the Word of God matter more than places and possessions. I go to my grave with a passport full of stamps. You go to your grave with a portfolio that your children inherit. Big deal. Because more than places and possessions, people matter, and the Word of God matters. Give yourself to people and to the Word of God. Amen. Please stand.